If you train a chatbot on the cesspit of the internet, it's probably gonna be a potty mouth. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Microsoft has laid off a team working on artificial intelligence, ethics, and society, part of the 10,000 job cuts announced back in January. The company said it still maintains several other AI ethics teams and is upping investments in them overall. New generative artificial intelligence tools, like its Bing chatbot, raise a multitude of ethical concerns, says Arvind Narayanan. He's a computer science professor at Princeton University.
There are a few recurring concerns that come up. One is that these tools are trained on the labor of people who have written text online or put up images online. That could be artists, photographers, and those images might be copyrighted. People might not have intended for someone else, like an AI company, to make commercial use of those images. AI companies have argued that copyright does not protect the use of online text or images for training AI programs. And once trained, these AI programs are often able to output the very kind of thing that threatens the jobs of some of the people who generated the training data. Another concern is that these bots could produce certain types of harmful outputs. There was that well-known New York Times article by Kevin Roos, where the Bing chatbot had a so-called unhinged conversation with him, where at one point it suggested that he leave his wife. So chatbots might end up saying things that are very emotionally disturbing to users. They might even suggest real-world harm. A third set of harms is misuse. Are people going to be using these chatbots that are capable not just of generating text, but also code? So are people going to be using chatbots to generate malware, for instance? So is it going to enable someone to create malware who is not a programmer and who otherwise would not have been able to engage in that kind of cybercriminal activity? And then one last one I'll mention, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are some of the main ones, is that often people don't understand the limitations of these chatbots. They can sound very convincing, and so it appears that they are giving accurate information. So if students start to learn, start to use these as learning tools, for instance, it could be that a lot of the answers are wrong, but unless you already know the answer, you can't tell that it's wrong. And so it could really misinform people.
So when we look at all of these examples that proliferated early on of the chatbot becoming aggressive or defiant, or in the case of a New York Times columnist suggesting that he leave his wife, what do you see going on there?
So they're trained on all of the conversations on the internet. And so that includes not just formal and polished text like journalism or Wikipedia or books. It also includes things like Reddit and perhaps 4chan. And when that's the case, the bot essentially learns all of the styles of conversation that exist out there. And unless there are specific mitigation methods put into place, and those methods do exist, but if that is skipped, any of those quote-unquote personalities can come out in any given conversation. And that might strongly depend on how the user interacts with the bot. And the bot has seen in its training data that when one person talks in a particular tone, the person responding often tends to have a similar tone. That's one reason that the bot might display that kind of behavior.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people are surprised when the bot acts exactly like how a bot might act in science fiction, or the concerns that have been raised about artificial intelligence, maybe in lots of news articles or reporting or studies. But these are all kind of part of the bot's training, right?
They are part of the bot's training, and we should see bots by default as being capable of these types of very undesirable behaviors. If we want bots that behave in more appropriate ways, that requires a very painstaking training process. And it appears that ChatGPT has had more of that kind of training, called reinforcement learning from human feedback. Whereas the Bing chatbot, at least in its first iteration, seemed to, again, from what we can tell from its public behavior, seemed to have had much less of that type of training.
Right. So these are both based on the OpenAI large language model, but they kind of have distinct systems. Tell me more about the process of training and kind of putting guardrails in place.
There are three steps primarily in training chatbots of this kind. The first step is called pre-training. And what pre-training involves is generating a massive corpus of text from the internet and training the bot to be able to statistically predict, given a sequence of words, what the next word is likely to be. And this seems like a trivial thing, but in that process, chatbots learn a lot about the syntax of language and even some properties of the world. The second step is to turn it from an autocomplete bot to a chatbot. And that is called instruction fine-tuning. And what that involves is training it to respond as if the user is giving commands to respond to, as opposed to giving text to autocomplete. And the third step is by far the most important one from an ethical perspective. That's called reinforcement learning from human feedback. And what that involves is training the bot to recognize when a request might be inappropriate and to politely refuse that request, and also in its own outputs to steer that output away from racist rants or disturbing conversations to something that is more appropriate for a bot.
So just to be clear, when we see an AI chatbot expressing what seems to be emotion or love or desires, these very human types of things, does that mean that the chatbot is sentient?
I don't believe so. There is a wonderful paper from a couple of years ago. It's called Stochastic Parrots, Can Language Models Be Too Big? And that paper makes the point that when these chatbots mimic human language, people who interact with those AI agents end up inferring human-like, you know, intent or internal states when that's in fact not the case.
Arvind Narayanan teaches computer science at Princeton University. We've got more on this at our website, marketplacetech.org. The newsletter Platformer was the first to report on Microsoft's recent job cuts on its AI ethics and society team. We'll have a link to that reporting and the full response Microsoft sent us. And if you somehow missed all the drama Bing's chatbot was causing early on, we'll have the full story from New York Times columnist Kevin Roos about how his long conversation with the chatbot turned weird and eventually urged him to leave his wife. The Verge reported other stories of the chatbot acting like what it termed an emotionally manipulative liar, including one report it had insisted the year was 2022 in a testy exchange that devolved into insults. As we noted, these reports were from early iterations of the Bing chatbot. When we tried it out a couple weeks ago with Joanna Stern at the Wall Street Journal, we didn't get anything quite so spicy, which was actually kind of a problem because we were asking for recipe recommendations. You can find that story in the same place at marketplacetech.org. Lydia Morell produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.